Welcome to the Mindset for Life podcast. This is Bethany, your coach from drbcoach.com, coaching with power, purpose, and practical tools to help you show up with confidence. Hello there, and thank you for joining me for the podcast today. Today, we're going to talk about what it feels like to be totally stuck and why people want to get unstuck and how to do it. Being stuck is something that a lot of coach clients come to me with. Many people are stuck in a lot of tiny ways and don't even realize it until they find a way to get through it. Being stuck means we have some kind of negative emotion and we're sort of ruminating in it. Someone might feel stuck about their identity, their purpose in life. Like, you might hear someone stuck in that way saying, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what I want. I don't know where I'm supposed to go from here. I've had a couple of coach clients come to me with that specific concern. I don't even know what I want. This is a place of definite being stuck. The thing that many of my clients complain about is there are a lot of things I do right now that I used to love, that used to make me totally happy, and now I'm just stalled. I don't know the way forward, and I just don't know how to begin. When we're stuck in relationships, sometimes it feels like we just don't have any idea how to talk to the person. We feel like we're going round and round and round in circles with a conversation, maybe with a conflict, maybe with a certain type of pattern, and we just can't figure our way out. Pretty soon, we start saying no to things. Our default becomes no to life, no to the other person, no to opportunities. And our comfort zone gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we just start to live there as if the comfort zone is all there is. That is the feeling of being stuck. Some people might call being stuck the same as being afraid. There can be a lot of fear attached that keeps us in the comfort zone. Maybe we're afraid because we have failed badly in the past. Maybe we're afraid because we have had some really challenging relationships, or we are in challenging relationships right now and we just don't know how to fix it. Maybe we think something is all our fault, even when it's not. There are a lot of reasons why we become stuck, but the fact remains most of us know that we are stuck when we are stuck. So what can we do to become unstuck? What are the opportunities here? Well, one thing that comes to mind is when we're truly stuck and we just don't know why we're stuck or what is causing it, one thing is that we can do an objective inventory of one or more areas of our lives to kind of get some ideas, to increase our awareness, slow down, and start to interrupt the automatic thoughts that are happening. The first kind of inventory I would suggest to anyone who truly feels stuck is to talk about their values. There are a lot of different values inventories available in the world. There's one that I received in coach training that is particularly effective. You sort all these values until you come up with, say, 20 or 25 values that seem to represent you. And when I say values, I'm talking about big ideas that matter to you. These could be ideas like loyalty, showing up on time, responsiveness, love, family connection, achievement, financial stability, and so forth. Values are basically big ideas that show up in life. So you can take one of any kind of values inventory, but you begin by identifying different values that matter most to you. And it's okay if they only matter a little bit. You just want to pick all the ones you care about and kind of cross off the ones you don't. Once you've whittled down your values, you can begin to see, well, are there some trends here? Are there like five or six values that are kind of similar, and then five or six other values that are kind of similar? Can you make four or five groups, and in each group, you've got kind of similar values or values that go together? So that would be your second step of inventorying your values to get some clarity on, well, why am I stuck and what do I do about it? Once you've made this four or five groups of value ideas, all you have to do is pick one of those values that best represents the entire group. So you're going to come down to maybe a list of 4 or 5 big ideas pretty quickly. Then those 4 or 5 ideas, look at those ideas and consider, if you could only live one of those values, if you couldn't do all of them at the same time, which one is vitally most important? Which one would totally be necessary for you to be who you really are? What's the most important? And eventually you want to rank these 4 or 5 big ideas so you just know what's most important for me, what's second, what's third. Now, researchers and people in the psychology world tend to say your values pretty much stay the same most of your life. Big events might change them. So if you experience a tragedy, a trauma, a major life change, sometimes as you get older, adult development stages might shift you a little bit. Maybe financial stability is important to you in your 20s and 30s, but in your 50s, you start to think about family connection being the most important, or spiritual insight, or personal growth. There are so many areas that you could be interested in. So your values can shift a little bit. For the most part, they don't change dramatically. There are cases where we start to rewrite our values for the purpose of doing something we previously thought was wrong or unethical. In cases where we start to rewrite our values just to suit a situation, I would be cautious and suggest look over your whole life. Start to think about many circumstances, work, relationships, personal interests, community involvement, and so forth. You want to make sure the values you identify as yours actually permeate most of your experiences throughout your life. You want to find those things that represent you best. Once you have figured out what your values are, it's very illuminating. You can ask the question, am I able to really live those areas in my life? I'll tell you right now, one of my values, one of my most important values, is spiritual growth and connection. And in terms of spiritual growth and connection, one of the best ways that I have spiritual growth in my life is by studying scripture, praying, and reflecting, and considering what is right for me, what my purpose is, and how I am expressing myself to others in the world. It's a big idea, being connected to something greater than myself. Some people might call that transcendence. I want to be led by what I consider to be my Heavenly Father, and others might consider this God, the universe, etc., your higher power. So spirituality being a value, if my family all chooses to stop going to church, to stop having family prayer, we do that in the evenings, if they all stop doing those things, can I still live my value? Well, of course I could, right? I could do that myself. I can have my own routine. I could do that in the morning, the evening, lunchtime. It doesn't really matter. Spiritual growth truly only depends on me. Now, if my second value is connection and family relationships, and if that really matters to me, I can still get connection with my family relationships, even if they don't support my growth in spiritual areas. This is how I can look at my values and say, well, what matters to me? What matters most to me? Does one of these values depend on another? Do they work independently? Do they depend on each other? As you look at your own values, any areas in which you are stuck, sometimes your values will light things up for you, and they'll help you to realize, wow, if creativity is one of my primary values, and I'm not giving myself time to create, I don't have a venue to create anything, and I can't figure out where to let my creativity shine, then that could be a good reason to feel stuck, right? That's something I care about and I'm not doing. It's not happening. Maybe I am a writer. Creativity can show up there. Maybe I'm a musician. Creativity could show up there. Maybe I am someone who is a stay-at-home parent who has children, and I'm attending to them a lot of the time. Well, creativity could show up in the things I do with those children. Maybe I make finger puppets for us to do together. Maybe I spend time with my children inventing new cookie recipes. There are so many ways my creativity could show up in any facet of my life, but if it's not happening, I'm going to be stuck, going to be unhappy. What about travel? Let's just say travel and new experiences are things that I value highly. If I'm stuck at home for 8 weeks, like some people have been during this COVID-19 quarantine type of experience, that travel desire might be completely stifled. However, I might still plan future travel, investigate places I'm going to go, keep the hope alive that I will go in the future. I can have virtual tours of museums in different places like the Louvre in France. I can look that up online and see it, like maybe I want to go there someday, but I can have that virtual tour now. I can also review the travel I've done in the past. I can look at the pictures. I can look at the journals I've kept. Maybe I've kept some memorabilia from that. Whatever it is, if I can connect to that value I have, even if it's not fully showing up, but if I can still kind of make some connection there, I'm going to be happier and I'm going to start getting unstuck. So my tip for you today is, number one, get in tune with your values, do a values inventory, and check out what you care about most and how you're able to live it right now. Then secondly, take that inventory you've done and your assessment of whether you're able to live it right now or not, and see what steps you could take to just take one of those values and help it show up more in your life. Live it more at work. Find creative ways to live that value in your home life. Find ways to share with other people, whether it's in letters, emails, phone call. Maybe you write a blog, share videos, something where you can actually use the value there too. Find a way for it to show up for you, and that will really generate more satisfaction and less of being stuck. Second, I'm going to introduce another inventory idea that you might have, because this will also help you to become less stuck. This is called the I Am Inventory. It was created by Edith Severs, CA, and it is copyrighted by her. I accessed this inventory tool from the coachville.com website, and I just want to share the ideas behind it with you. And the idea is that we learn from every job, occupation, experience we have with life. Often we take our learning for granted and we miss a rich, affirming opportunity. So on this inventory, you're going to make 6 columns. And for each column, you're going to label it across the top, and then you're going to make rows of things. So you're going to use a chronological order when you had learned these things from each experience. And in the first column, we're going to list all the jobs, occupations, or different kinds of experience we have. For each one, we're going to go across the row and we're going to list knowledge we gained, skills we developed, abilities we enhanced or learned to have, personal strengths that we were able to grow or demonstrate, and natural talents that came into play. Now, I'll just give you one for example. When I was in college one summer, I had a job at an auto body repair shop. My sister worked there, so she got me this job as the front desk receptionist. And I have no knowledge of auto mechanics or body shop work of any kind, so I didn't really have a background in this field, but I was really interested in engaging with human beings, interacting, and kind of managing the affairs of all the customers. I loved that. So I had an amazing experience of being the front desk receptionist at Golden West Auto Body in California. I gained a huge amount of knowledge about the ways in which cars can be damaged and repaired. I learned a lot of knowledge about accountability, timelines, reporting back to customers. These are all general knowledge areas, but more specifically in the car repair industry, I learned a lot about what it takes to actually repair major damage on a car. I asked a lot of questions, and while I would not be able to make those repairs myself, I at least had a cursory knowledge of the process and kind of what's involved. Like, you're going to remove the dents, you're going to put some primer on it, you're going to paint it, you're going to put a clear coat on it, you're going to do a lot of different things. These are things I didn't know before, so I learned a lot in terms of knowledge. Now, what skills did I gain? I also learned some skills about filing, managing customers electronically, on the computer. I learned a lot about different types of outreach calls to make on the telephone that I hadn't done before. So I gained some specific job-related skills in that position. The abilities I gained, I really grew in my ability to be patient with different kinds of managers. There were a couple of managers there that were vastly different. One was very curt, very short, very straight to the point, and not a lot of small talk, and very demanding. And the other one was very flowery, chummy, made a lot of small talk, and not always very clear in getting to the point. And both managers were excellent, but I had to learn some abilities to adapt to different kinds of people and also to understand different kinds of people. The personal strengths I brought into that job, well, one was I just loved people, so I was always very warm and approachable by the new customers. I also brought in some strengths about perseverance, learning new tasks, and also workflow skills, managing all of the knowledge and information that I needed to share and report and all of that. The natural talents I brought in, I would say that I have a natural talent for being able to hit unfamiliar situations with confidence. I often was on the telephone or speaking face-to-face with customers in situations where I was totally unprepared. I had nothing to report about their cars or their repairs. And I had to get through those situations with tact, with grace, with finesse, and reassuring them that things were going to be okay and following up. So I had a natural talent for that kind of engagement with human beings, and I was able to bring it up there. So I just gave you an experience, kind of a breakdown of the knowledge, skills, abilities, personal strengths, and natural talents, and how we might look at those. And what you can do for this inventory is to create a list just like that. If you have had no jobs, but a lot of life experiences, you can use those experiences and you can go across and look at your knowledge, skills, abilities, personal strengths, and natural talents. If you have had a lot of jobs, you could, of course, choose each of those. And everywhere we are, we learn something new, something different. So I encourage you to take an I am inventory and start to look at all of the many things you've learned and where you've gotten those things, all the skills you've picked up, the abilities you've learned or enhanced, your personal strengths that have shined or that you have developed, and also the natural talents that have come up. As you take an inventory like this, step two, just like when we're looking at the values inventory, step two of the I am inventory would be about reflecting on your life and all of these things, how they relate to you. As you look at them, you might have some ideas. What opportunities are there in your life right now to use the knowledge you have? What opportunities are there to use your skills or to grow new skills? What abilities do you want to enhance? What comes to mind when you look at your inventory? What personal strengths did you grow or develop in each of your experiences or jobs? And what personal strengths would you like to grow or develop? What natural talents have shown up for you in the past? What talents are you maybe not able to use right now that you would like to begin using more in the future? As you go through each of these areas, something will occur to you in at least one of these areas. You will start to see maybe a gap between your abilities, your strengths, your talents, and what you're able to use right now. And in that gap is an opportunity. The opportunity is the question, how might I make the leap from where I am right now in the stuck zone to where I could be in that area? If a gap exists and you know you have a potential or an ability and you haven't been able to use it, chances are something might come to mind. Maybe you'll think about behaviors that you can change or habits you can start. Maybe you'll think of people you want to connect with. Maybe you'll think of things you want to read or learn about. Even the smallest step can begin to help you become unstuck. But the best thing this kind of inventory does for you is it brings you into a very positive state of acknowledging really helpful positive things about yourself. You start to explore each area of yourself, your knowledge, your skills, your abilities, your strengths, your talents. Pretty soon you have a really nice picture of all these great things about yourself. And sometimes that alone will remove the negativity that accompanies the feeling of being stuck. Once you start to dislodge that stuckness, you can move forward into possibilities. You can come up with new things to try, new places to go, and you can start to ask the questions that now have open spaces to answer them, like, what would I like to try? What would I like to do? Who would I like to be? I hope you'll try one of these two inventory ideas, the values inventory or the I am inventory this week, in thinking about you, how you would like to grow and further develop, and how to stop being stuck. I wish you all the best this week in pursuing that. Here's to being the best version of you. This has been a podcast called Mindset for Life by Bethany at drbcoach.com. To find me on the web, you can visit my blog or my website at www.drbcoach.com. That's drbcoach.com.